Okay. Now, was your book focused? Your book wasn't focused on just your livelihood. I mean, your life in Germany. Am I correct?
No. No, it talked about my childhood and my growing up in Germany, and then talked mostly about my life in America. I came to this country when I was 18. I just turned 18. So it's about it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your birth name, I'm sorry, is Hans Guttegast. Guttegast. Yes. Hans Guttegast.
That is the name I had on a series called The Rapid Draw.
Yes.
Obviously a lot of shows before. It changed in 1968. I did a film which I starred at Universal Studios called Colossus, the Forman Project, which is a science fiction film. And the then head of Universal Studios didn't think that anyone with a German name should star in an American picture. So, hence Eric Braeden, because Braeden comes from Hilliger, from the picture.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you've been, over the years in the 60s and the 70s, you've been in Escape from Planet of the Apes. You've been in Hawaii 5-0. Am I correct, sir?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Gunsmoke,
Hawaii 5-0. Now you tell them.
Now, I'm sorry, sir. I was wondering. Now, all these shows you've been in the past in the 60s, and the 70s, now, right now, they are rebooting these shows, and they're turning into movies.
That's right.
How do you? Yes. Oh, how do you feel about that? Are they turning things that's old into new?
Well, if they make money with it, that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to ask them a question?
I did. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on the line with you. My name is Lakeeva. I have a show called Miss Keeva's Cozy Corner. I wanted to know, I know you've had a long career in the entertainment world. What are some pointers you can give someone who is fresh coming into the business?
Oh, boy. Well, I would say you have to be realistic about your chances.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be realistic mostly about your talent. If it's not only up to you to determine whether you're good, you need to have heard it from other people. You know, I think if one is honest with oneself, one soon gets the feeling that, yeah, I should pursue this. A lot of people react positively. But simply to have the delusion of becoming a star, well, that's the worst part of the worst way to get into the business. You have to want to act. You have to want to express things. You have to have a certain amount of anger in you in order to want to express and expose that. It is very hard to give advice to someone, except very hard in this business. Remember the 150,000 registered actors. Registered, 150,000, of which 1%, 1,500, make a living. Of that 1%, a small percentage makes a good living. That's the reality. So you have to be very, very circumspect before you go into the business. And you have to tell yourself or ask yourself, is this really what I want to do? And then you must start out with small theater, and as I did, and as a lot of actors do. Find out how people react to you and if it is truly a worthwhile endeavor for you. Otherwise, stay home. Don't do it. Do something else. Because it has little to do with objective criteria. Any other profession you go into, you go through an apprenticeship, you learn, or you study in school, and you know exactly by the grades that you get, that you're either good or not good, not qualified. In acting, in music and acting and all that, it is so encouraged, it is so indefinable. What are the qualities that make someone successful in our business? These are qualities that are very hard to describe, you know, objectively. So the thing to be objective about is, as much as you can, about your talent, how you reach people, how you affect people, you know? Very hard to determine all that. You have to really want to do it.
Was there ever a time where you felt like this wasn't for you?
Yeah, sure. There were times when I thought, you know, I should be not wasting so much time waiting for a damn agent to call. Now, in my case, I never had to wait that long. But nevertheless, it just, after a while, you say, wait a minute, I need to do something with my life that means more. And so I wanted to write or direct. And then I fell upon YNR and the character Victor Newman. And I liked it very much after a while. Because it is enormous potential for a variety of emotions and all that in the character, and obviously the popularity of it has helped a great deal. You know, we have been number one for over 30 years now. I've been on for 37 years. So
2,700 episodes, right?
Say what again?
Over almost 2,700 episodes, right?
You know, I forget how many.
When did you fully embrace Victor Newman?
Yeah.
About 2 years into it. 3 years into it. It was a scene with Nikki. It was Christmas time, and we were married for the first time, I think. And she asked me about my childhood. I'd never told her. It was a mystery. Victor Newman was a mysterious character. And so then I began to reluctantly tell her that my mother had left me in an orphanage at the age of 7. I've never seen her again. When Bill Bell, who is from Chicago, by the way, when he wrote that story, and I played it, I said, "Now I'm going to die." I said, "Bill Bell, I understand. Who's from Chicago?" So that was the moment I decided.
Okay.
To bring three out of this.
Okay. Now, your father was a member of the Nazi Party. And did that bother you when you were stereotyped as anyone from Germany? People assumed that's a Nazi. So was it your intellectual odyssey to learn about that era?
It was indeed.
Okay.
Exactly. I learned everything I could, and I learned a lot about the stuff going on in America. You know.
Yes.
And anti-Semitism was present in America as well. Alive and well. Racism was very strong in this country. So, I don't think there's a country without skeletons and closets. But what happened in Germany is that's beyond the pale. So, obviously, as a young German, I became very interested in finding out about that whole thing, how it developed, and how it evolved, and how people were suckered into it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So do you still catch any slack or any flack from that era, just being from Germany and the things that are going on in America right now?
Never privately. And you must remember, what most people don't know is Germans are the largest ethnic group in America. Did you know that?
No.
Look it up on Google. Type in largest ethnic group in America. It's German.
Oh, wow.
And that is because of that stupid Austrian private who became Adolf Hitler. People forget.
Yeah.
The immigration from Germany was enormous. It's the largest ethnic group in America. So the contributions of Germans to American society have been enormous. Enormous. You know, from Eisenhower to Babe Ruth to Einstein, it goes on and on and on. And Heinz Tomato Sauce, the car companies in Detroit. It is all the beer companies, hamburgers, Frankfurt. I mean, all of that is German.
Okay.
Of German origin.
definitely
yeah.
is when you think about it.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
So what can we expect from you into what's coming up? I know your book is coming out tomorrow, hardback. Will it be any digital copies, like on Amazon or anything like that?
There are audio versions of it, yeah.
Okay, so there will be audio versions.
Yeah, and the hardcover was a best of and in Canada.
Well.
Tomorrow's coming out of paperback.
Paperback, gotcha. I gotta take a read. Can you give me like a brief like synopsis of what your book entails?
Well, it's literally from the time I was born to now, you know?
Okay.
And the town I was born in was 96% destroyed, and they threw 500,000 bombs on.
Wow.
And it covers my trip to America and living in the South first in Texas and then in Montana, doing a river trip in Idaho, the river of no return. I was the first one to ever go up and down that river with an American friend and made a documentary. And all the stories about Hollywood. Then I won the U.S. Championship in soccer in 1973.
And what?
Box in the ghetto gyms in L.A., etc.
Now, you are a boxing fan. Who's your favorite boxer ever?
Well, it would have to be Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Sometimes, also this 50th birthday party.
No.
And I would say one of the most underrated or forgotten boxers, one of the best in the world, was Larry Holmes.
Oh, yes, he had the greatest jab.
Yes, man.
Larry Holmes was a very, very good boxer.
Yes.
But he unfortunately lived in the era of Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad overshadowed everyone, you know?
Okay.
I met Joe Frazier. I knew Joe Frazier. What a tough character he was. And then I did a film with Kenny Norton, you know?
Yes.
I was in my film, The Man Who Came Back, which I produced and starred in a few years ago. So then there's a Canadian white heavyweight called George Chuvada.
Oh.
Tough character he was. No one ever knocked him out. No one. No one ever knocked him down. And the guy just had bad coaching, but he fought Ali, he fought Frazier, fought them all.
He fought them all, yes he did.
He fought them all. He became a friend. And then, of course, my fellow countryman, Max Mayling, who beat Joe Louis the first time they met in New York, and then he lost the second time. And I met him when he was 97.
Whoa. Oh,
wow.
He was clear in his head. Clear as a bell.
Yes.
You know that Max Mayling supported Joe Louis financially up to years afterwards. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And Max Mellon, he was one of the board members of Coca-Cola, am I correct?
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, I have one more question for you, Mr. Braden. Give me the difference between Victor Newman and Eric Braden.
Oh boy. I'm not as interested in business as Victor is.
Okay.
And I've been married to the same woman since 1966.
Yeah, because Mr. Newman is something else.
But I sometimes wish I had his money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Well, I have one more question for you also. Is there ever a time where you found yourself in character as Mr. Newman in your everyday real life?
Never. I mean, never. Oh. Not one single moment. You know, part of who I am obviously bleeds into the character. I mean, that's inevitable. But, no. Although one is approached as Victor. You know, whether I'm in Paris or in Istanbul or Tel Aviv or Alabama or Biloxi, Mississippi or Toronto, Canada, you know, it's the first thing that he picked her. And all Harlem or LA, it doesn't mean it was. And so those moments, one is reminded of it, but my private life has nothing to do with it. You know, I'm into sports, I work out a lot, and now very interested in my son's film. He wrote and directed a film called Den of Thieves with 50 Cent and O'Shea Jackson in it.
When does that come out?
It's coming out in January.
Okay, we look forward to that.
I'm in it as well, a little bit.
Okay.
Yep, or I visit my granddaughters when they go riding, and, you know, so my private life is very different. I'm very interested in politics and sports.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Braden. Now, if Victor Newman ran against Donald Trump, how would you think that election would go?
No contest.
I'll just let you know you have my vote.
Well,
one guy is full of it.
Thank you so much.
Leave it up to you to
join the group. Oh, I think my vote would be for Victor Newman. I'll go whoever with who the ladies like.
This is America is a great country.
Yes.
I love this country. And I have seen enormous improvement. For example, in race relations for the 6 years I've been here. If anyone tells you that's not the case, he's wrong. Mm-hmm. I've seen enormous improvement along those lines. America is responsible for Western Europe being democratic. Mm-hmm. All of Europe would be run over by the communists by now. Most of Asia would be owned by the Chinese by now, by the communists by now, if it hadn't been for America. Let's not forget that. If it hadn't been for white and black servicemen in this country who have kept Europe democratic, kept most of Asia democratic. If it hadn't been for America, this world would look very different. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And if there are these bullshit artists, excuse me,
go ahead.
Say we need to make America great again, America is great. I'm an immigrant, I know. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I fought for everything. This country has given me many opportunities. It's a great country. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And the American Constitution is the bedrock of this country. And I'm proud to live here. I'm proud to be an American citizen. And I hate it when people tear this country down. I hate it. That bullshit artist, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, talking about to make America great again. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Mr. Braden for president.
Mr. Braden for president.
Obviously, there are certain areas in our industrial heartland where people lost jobs. That is very true, very sad. But I think we can, you know, how to reemploy them is a tough question. But I think we need to spend loads of money on rebuilding America's infrastructure. And you would employ a lot of people, millions as a matter of fact. And so far, they are twiddling their thumbs or they're fighting over partisan issues in Washington, D.C. That's what they're doing. They're not doing the real work that needs to be done.
That's right.
What needs to be done is we need to rebuild America's infrastructure. That's the first thing we need to do.
That's right.
And we would employ millions of people. Yep.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Well said, Mr. Braden. Thank you for calling in, sir. Thank you for taking the time to call in. Ladies and gentlemen, for the ones that's listening, make sure you get your copy of I'll Be Damned by Eric Braden.
I can't wait to read it.
Thanks to both of you. All right.
Thank you.
You be cool, and I hope the Chicago Bears will come back again.
That's right.
We're all hoping that.
We're all hoping that.
I remember the times of Dick Butkus.
Oh, wow.
You know, I did a film with Jim Brown, a film called 100 Rifles in the late 60s. And Jim and I became kind of friends, and I said, who did you hate to play against the most? He said, Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus? Really? I didn't think anybody. Wow.
Dick Butkus was a tough.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Dick Butkus afterwards, he has his hands like a toilet. So was Jim Brown, of course. Anyway.
The unique thing about Jim Brown, he is still one of the top 10 all-time rushing leaders, and you know, running backs, rushing yards. He's still top 10, and he retired 50 years ago.
Jim Brown is a legend.
Yes. Yes.
You're a legend, too.
Oh, you're an icon, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. You guys have a good day. Is it cold in Chicago
now? Yes, yes, it is. It's very cold.
It's about 40 degrees here.
I'm going to stay in California.
Yeah. Okay. Enjoy the Cali weather, sir. Yes.
Well, hopefully when I come to California, we can do a face-to-face interview.
Yes. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Alrighty.
We'll be cool.
You'll be cool too, sir. Have a good one.
Bye. Bye.